Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watt for Jack Watt's On Recovery. This 30-minute show, this is the inaugural broadcast. I'm broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia. And this is for people who are living with one problem or another, but primarily for people who are suffering from religious abuse, people who have done the right thing, been part of the system, and have been used, abused, and discarded by people they've trusted. As a result, they've pulled away, and they no longer want anything to do with Christianity. Now, I want to say this. This program is for Christian people primarily. It's for those who have had bad experiences within the evangelical and Catholic communities and have abandoned their faith. This is a show to help them reconnect with a loving God so that they can make something better of their life. At the same time, people who have trouble with addictions like alcoholism, gambling, overeating, overspending, sex addiction, any other kind of addiction, can also get help here because this is a recovery program that will work. But primarily, it's for people who have been abused by the church or by a leader who has problems with narcissism. Now, say, okay, this is a radio program for those kind of people. How many of them are there? There can't be that many. Well, actually, there are quite a few of them. Let me explain. Last year, there was a poll about how many people were church members and how many weren't in America, and it indicated that there were 100 million people that were what they called unchurched. Now, the Zogby people who did this poll went in-depth to find out about these people, and they discovered that of that 100 million, 40 million had a negative experience and left. Not all of those people, not all of their experiences were so negative that it rises to the level of religious abuse, but with a potential audience of 40 million wounded Christians, this is a big problem. And part of the problem is how people think about themselves when they're doing this. So I write about this stuff. I wrote a book about it called Recovering from Religious Abuse, 11 Steps to Spiritual Freedom. It was published by Simon & Schuster a year ago. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anyplace. There's a hardback version, and there's also a paperback version. So it's available for anybody that wants to get it. And anybody that wants to say, you know what, I know I have a relationship with the Lord, but at the same time, I'm having all kinds of problems with this, that, and the other, and I know that I need to do something about it. All right, to begin with, let me just also say this. I blog about this stuff every day. on Pushing Jesus. That's the name of the blog. If you just Google either Jack Watt or Pushing Jesus, you will discover a bunch of stuff. And I mean, when I say a bunch of stuff, I probably have 900 posts about it, and all of them are substantive. What ends up happening is people are so desperate. They feel so, they're so wounded. They become embittered. They live in self-pity. And their hearts are broken. To begin, let me just offer prayer for the brokenhearted. Father, I feel so broken and despondent. My body writhes with hopelessness, consumed with pain and anguish, and I have a sense of despair that I fear will overwhelm me. When will it end? I go about purposeless, without understanding, devoid of joy, which once was mine in abundance. My grief is ever before me, reminding me of my loss, robbing me of sleep, diminishing my countenance, telling me I have failed. I'm admonished. It's all for a purpose by friends who want to fix me and lift the sorrow from my heart. But it doesn't help, nor does it ease my pain, not even a little. I can pretend to comprehend my plight, to know the lessons I'm being taught, but I don't understand, not really. My heart is broken, perhaps beyond repair. I fear my plight will not change, and I will never laugh as before. In my languishing despair, I cry to you, begging for relief. You hear, but you do not answer. I beseech, moan, cry, and carp, but you allow my pain to continue each day long into the night. Rescue me, Lord, quickly. Put your healing hand upon me and make me know what, and make me whole once again. Teach me my lesson so that I need never repeat them. Take that which is broken and mend it so that I will be whole, stronger and more resilient than ever. Empower me that I may bless your name with gladness and allow my sadness to become a distant memory. Amen. Now, the format for this call, for the show, is a call-in program. Since this is the initial version, I just really doubt that we're going to have anybody call in. But that doesn't matter because I've got a bunch to say, and this is going to be in the archives for a long, long time. Plus, there are going to be so many people overseas that are going to listen to this also. As a matter of fact, when I started doing this and writing this blog before I ever published any book about it, I would have maybe two or three people that would look at the work, and I would think to myself, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm spending 2-3 hours a day writing entries and making them really good and solid and things that can help people recover, and two or three people would read them, and that was it. That was a long time ago. On my Pushing Jesus blog site, in the last 3 months alone, people from 61 different countries have looked at my work about recovering from religious abuse, because this is a worldwide problem. And by having the radio program on blog radio, people can look in the archives all over the world and look in. In addition to the English-speaking world, people have looked at the Pushing Jesus site that are from the Philippines, India, Singapore, Italy, even Muslim countries like the United Arab Emirates. Turkey, Bahrain, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, Indonesia, and Jordan. Some of these people literally risk life and limb to try and make themselves well and to heal. All right, now, what is this program, and what is the value of it to me? How does it work? What's the deal? Let me just say this. If you've experienced religious abuse, or if you have a friend that's experienced it, your life is not over. Neither is your purpose for living. You can be stronger than you've ever imagined and become a better person by far than you've ever been. God still has a plan for you, a plan full of hope and purpose, a plan for good things and not bad things. And it's waiting for you. This plan can be yours, and you can incorporate it into your life. All that's missing is your willingness to reach out for it and to do the necessary work for recovery. It's the key to unleashing God's power in your life. But if you don't actively participate, nothing will happen. If you're willing, even desirous, all things are possible. Hope, once again, will become a significant part of your life, and nothing. Not your abuser, your circumstances, nor hell itself can stand in your way. If God is with you, and He is, who can stand against you? All right. What are the 11 steps that I'm talking about? What are the things that lead to spiritual freedom? One, and these are things, by the way, before I start on this, because this is going to really, I'm going to elucidate on each one of these just a little bit, and this will be our first 30-minute program. Each of these steps is progressive. You don't start at step 7 and then go to 1 or 3. You start at the beginning. This is a methodology for how to get yourself back on track. Now, let me just add one other thing. You do not have to resubmit to any abusive thing. God doesn't want it, and He understands abuse. Think of it this way. Who better than Christ knows what religious abuse is? When He was arrested, spit upon, stripped naked, beaten and crucified, who did it? Not the Romans, the religious leaders, false religious leaders who wanted to protect their system, and to do so, they murdered the Son of God. P.S. He raised from the dead, so He had to die for our sins. We get that part. All right. Let me go into these 11 steps to spiritual freedom. One, I acknowledge that my life is shipwrecked and not where I want it to be. Is your life, are you living in denial? Are you talking about, oh, I'm okay. That's all past. It's been taken care of. there's nothing wrong with me. I'll be fine. Nothing at all to worry about. While you're drinking too much, looking at pornography, spending too much, eating too much, drifting away from who you're supposed to be to a place that is full of despair, hopelessness, and self-pity, if that's where you are, you've got to admit it. Nothing can happen to help you until you say, I'm in trouble. I need help. I don't like my life where it is. It's shipwrecked and not where I want it to be. Second, I commit to stop living my life in pursuit of self-defeating behavior. I commit to stop living my life in pursuit of self-defeating behavior. We've mentioned a little bit about these self-defeating behaviors. When you belong to the Lord and you walk away from Him, what do you walk to? To things that medicate your pain and make you feel good about yourself, but they end up becoming pretty big problems themselves, don't they? Do you live nursing self-pity? Do you love being bitter and resentful? Do you like drinking too much? Do you like that you're addicted to prescription medication? These are the kinds of self-defeating things that happen. Are you involved in an affair? People do that all the time. They fill the vacuum in their lives with all kinds of things that end up creating more problems for themselves than they heal. To get back on track, you got to stop it. You got to get help if you're addicted, and you can get some of the help right here. But you can't get back on track with God until you admit that there's something wrong and you stop doing the things that are creating the problems that are keeping you away from Him. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's pretty easy. This isn't rocket science. The answer is easy. Doing it is what's hard. Number three. This is a hard one for a lot of people. I accept that the responsibility for getting back on track is mine and no one else's. The responsibility for getting back on track is yours and nobody else's. Most people who have been abused say, it's not me. I didn't do this. The preacher did this to me. And he's the one that needs to apologize. Not me. I didn't do anything wrong. Let him apologize first, and then I'll do what's necessary to get back on track. He's got to do it first. The only problem with that is this. They never apologize. Never. Why? They don't think they're wrong. And they think they have a right to do what they've done. Do they have that right? No. But who's the one that's suffering from it? You. It's kind of like saying, I'll get even with him. I'll hurt me. That doesn't hurt anybody but you. And it doesn't get even. Guess what? An abusive person doesn't care that you're suffering. They don't care. Now, another part of this is Well, God should not have let that happen to me. It's God's fault. God allows sin. It's part of our world. It isn't what he wants for you. He wants you to be free, to be filled with the Spirit, and to walk strongly. To do so, what do you have to do? You have to admit that your life is shipwrecked. You have to stop pursuing self-defeating behavior, and you need to recognize and accept the responsibility for getting back on track is yours and no one else. Four, and this is a key one, I choose to believe what God says about himself, that he is good and can be trusted. I recognize that God is not the abuser, rather people who misuse their authority are the abusers. You've got to break it apart. Your abuse came at the hand of a person who was misusing his or her authority. It does not come from God. God does not abuse his people. You have to make the conscious choice to say, okay, God is loving. He loves me. He loves me. And he wants the best for me. And I choose to believe that he is good and that I can trust him. Five, I recognize that the only way back to a productive life is exactly the way I came. Therefore, I commit to repairing my relationship with God and making amends with everyone I have wronged along the way. The only way back is the way you came. It's like a cul-de-sac. The further that you get in, the deeper you're into your own way of life, and you've got to turn around and come back exactly the way that you came. Now, when you've experienced religious abuse, what happens? You end up doing all kinds of things that are hurtful to other people. And you don't realize it, or you don't care. In order to get back on track with God, you have to turn around, make a list of the people that you've wronged and what you've done, apologize for it, and never do it again. That's what making amends is, not just apologizing for it, but never doing it again. Number six. I refuse to become like those who have abused me, and I abandon my desire to spread malice because of my pain and my anger. Spreading malice is what people who've been abused do. They're bitter. They let people know what hypocrites they've been dealing with, and they go this after this, after this, and it is a mess. They make a mess. What you have to do is say, okay, I'm not going to be that person ever again. I refuse to be abusive just because I've been abused. Where do pedophiles come from? They come from, they've been abused themselves. They grow up and they become what wounded them. It's the same thing with religious abuse. Who are the abusers? People who abuse more often than not. Number seven, I will make a detailed written account of my abusive experiences as well as my subsequent behavior. I commit to being as thorough and honest as I'm able. Make a detailed written account, including all the behavior that's come from it. It's going to take you a while, maybe. The longer that you've been living away from the Lord, the longer the list is going to be, and you've got to do it. You can't skirt it and just say, well, you know, God forgives. Okay, he forgives. But you've got to get the woundedness out. You can't leave the stuff which has been festering inside of you like a wound that has a scab over it that has pus underneath. The wound has to be drained, and it's painful. You've got to go back the same way that you came. And you've got to pull the stuff out of you. You write it down and say, this is what I've done, and be extremely honest about it. God knows the truth, and so do you. You can't be okay and do a halfway job about this. You have to get to the bottom of it. You have to make a detailed written account of your experience and subsequent behavior, being thorough and honest. Number eight, I will share my experience and my own wrongdoing with a trusted friend, confessing the exact state of my heart. Jack, isn't it okay? I mean, you know, God is the only one that forgives sin. I don't have to. I mean, why can't I just do this with God? Why do I need somebody else? The answer is obvious. We are human beings, and we are relational with other human beings, and it's really easy to talk to God and to just be done with it. Doing it with someone else requires another level of honesty and of integrity and of forthrightness that is as healing as anything you will ever do in your entire life. But you can't skirt it. You have to do it. There's no getting well without it. Number nine. I humbly ask God to change anything he desires, and I ask him to heal my pain. Because God forgives us as we forgive others, I forgive my abusers. Okay, forgiving your abuser is a tough thing to do. It doesn't mean you have to trust them again, but you do have to forgive them. 10, I choose to believe God still has a purpose for my life, a purpose for good and not evil. God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life, but you've got to go through all the stuff to get back into it. 11, I make a commitment to nurture my relationship with God, asking him to reveal his will to me and to give me the power to carry it out. All right, these are 11 steps. This is how to recover from religious abuse, and we're going to be talking about this for years to come. If you want to look at my website, it's Pushing Jesus, or you can just go to jackwatts.me, and find it through that because it's on my website. And we're going to continue with this. God bless you, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.